Hey everybody, happy Monday night. Today is June 5th, 2023. This is Across the Pitch. We are down a man, but not out. I am Mike Brera. To my right or left, however you wanted to call it, is Jose Nunez. Jose, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Mike. I think we're making good on our promise to, regardless if it's me and Dave, you and Dave, me and you, whatever the mix is for the show, we always want to have something for you guys, whether it's 5, 10, 20 minutes or... Gosh, I think, Mike, the three of us have caught ourselves talking for an hour and change on occasion. So long way to say, we're just really excited to provide you with something, and that's our promise to you.
Absolutely. So for those of you who are wondering where Dave is, he's tied up for work. Even though he's 5 hours ahead of us, which would be, what, 2 o'clock in the morning, he works really weird hours. I know he does work for Gillingham as well for their media team. So Dave is busy in a way, but Jose and I will be holding down the fort today. We have Kyle. Kyle's half of the one team we all agree on. So, Kyle, thanks for joining tonight. Appreciate it. And, yes, he said an epic Saturday night it was. And we're going to get to that in just a bit, as well as a commercial narrated by Jose. If you're wondering, why is Mike wearing a Manscaped shirt?
Oh, well, my God.
If you were an AAT Birds, AAT Sports original, you knew that we were sponsored by Manscaped a long time ago. We've brought him back, and we have a new commercial to air tonight that Jose has narrated, which I watched twice already.
I got to tell you, recording this in a house with two kids and my wife and the dog, it was actually pretty difficult to find the time and space to do it. Never mind not laughing while recording it, because the a little maybe inside baseball before we get started, but man, they really try to script you, and I took liberties in sort of editing that to make it sound like us, make it sound original. You know, the offer that we're offering to anybody listening or watching, it's not unique, and I'm not gonna lie to you that it's unique. Right. But we want to make sure that you get something and you support us, so right. You'll see it if you're a podcast listeners or a podcast listener, you'll notice that the copy is somewhat similar, or you start picking up on sponsors on what they ask their people to say. Ours is a little bit different, so I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's basically how can we make a joke about balls in an hour and 40 minutes. But again, it's a good sponsor for us to have, and they just came back with us recently, so that will be at the end of the show. But before we get to that entertaining piece of work from you, we will be discussing the Philadelphia Union, who got 6 points out of a possible 6 points this past Wednesday and Saturday. Wednesday, they took on Charlotte FC, and then this past Saturday, they beat CF Montreal. I would say the latter of the two more convincing than the first, but Jose, were you at the game on Wednesday or no?
I was not. My wife was feeling ill. Yeah, my wife was feeling ill, and I stayed home with the boys. But, that really felt a lot more difficult than it should have been, but all credit is due to Charlotte, right? A strong team that year two, trying to figure it out. We've been in those growing pains. We've gone through them. And as I mentioned to Dave out from Charlotte, who had joined us in the past, I think I guest podcasted that day, and we interviewed
Dave
him.
Dave Gustler, I believe his name is.
Gustler, yes. I just know his Twitter handle as Gusbuster. So Dave, is going through it. Year two, it's difficult. We've been there. We've done that. We don't think we ever want to go back to that. But nonetheless, homecoming in a way for Derek Jones, who played the entire 90, which is awesome. Yeah. It was great to see him. But I think a couple of standout things to me from that game is just how the back three pocketed a World Cup attending, I don't know how much playing time he got, striker in Kyle Swiderski, all but a ghost during that match. So I was really happy to notice that. And again, another stand-up performance from Leon Flock, who seems to have figured it out on the six or whatever the pivot is right there right now.
Well, so on my side of things, I was traveling to basically Morristown, New Jersey, which is about an hour and 45 minutes north of me. At the time of the game, I was away for work. I didn't come back till even like late Thursday night. So I was away for work for about a day and a half, and I was listening to the game, and I did catch some of the preview, but I came into the hotel right before the goal scored. So at least I got to see that, which I was very happy about. But you're right, Leon Flock seems to be fitting in his own. The goal that was overturned by Uwa, I believe, was actually assisted by Leon Flock as well early on. And I know, if I remember hearing from the radio from Dave Leno and Shannon Williams, that he also contributed to the Carranza post shot in the beginning. So he was active. And, you know, listen, Charlotte, I know, is kind of a newer team, but they still have been in fairly decent form. We kind of discussed this earlier, you know, a bit last week as well. They weren't exactly, you know, scrubs coming to the stadium on Wednesday. They were in fairly decent form, scoring some goals. So was it harder than we probably wanted? Sure. But again, to your credit, Jose, I think we have to tip our hat to Charlotte. They at least played us the right way and held on for what was the goal? 70th minute, right?
70th minute, and beyond me how referees come up with this or how they make these decisions, but it was scored as an own goal. So Daniel Gastag missing an open play goal there with a header, which for him to score headers is rare. I think obviously PK is his this year, it seems to be his MO, and then, you know, some beautiful shots that he's putting out there. But to your point of Charlotte playing as well, it's no secret that teams outpossess us. That's just the way we play, the way that we manage games at home and even away. But outpassing us, 439 passes to 356, and a far better pass accuracy by 5% or so. So they were at 77% and 72% on our end. But what's really interesting is, and I think this is just a result of playing on the counterattack, 4 offsides on our end. So 0 for them, which also goes to show that maybe their outlets were not quite as effective as ours, right? They didn't have the opportunity to break away the way that maybe they had intended to counter us, as we sort of park ourselves and on our enemies' halves and try to press them to oblivion and let them cuff up the ball. So interesting game. Must admit, disappointed it didn't show up, but I'm just glad that there was a win and I actually got to see the goals versus, you know, the 2 Carranza goals at halftime a couple of matches ago when I was putting my son to bed. So I don't know if you had any additional observations. Maybe somebody who is watching can let us know, but where's Bender? Ben Bender, haven't seen him play in a little bit. Is he having an injury for Charlotte? I should say,
I know you were high on Ben Bender last year. When we talked to Dave, you had mentioned, oh, well, you know, what's the hype around Ben?
Maryland guy.
Yeah, he kind of fell off from the faces. We have a comment here from Terry, actually. It was an own goal. It hit the post and then bounced off the back of the goalie, then into the goal. So, you know, I guess credit where credit is due. Listen, Carranza gets awarded the goal that hits, you know, 2 players into the net, but Gazdag doesn't. So, is what it is there. I'm not putting too much weight into the fact that it was only 1-0. I think you just have to, you know, midweek game, we still had a game on Saturday, right? So it was a shorter week for us as well. So take it for what it's worth. I mean, for me personally, I thought the game against Montreal had a bigger impact overall on my viewing, because I was actually able to watch the game from start to finish. So I think I'm going to just jump to that rather than dwelling on Charlotte. So Jose, the game versus Montreal, what were your thoughts on from everything? Because you were there in 140.
I was there in 140, back at it again. Brought my cousin Dylan, who I think is watching. So I maybe back up a little bit. I think Wednesday was the first game that they enacted, and I apologize if I'm wrong, maybe I'm just forgetting, but parking lot B all gone, cannot park there anymore, broke ground. The shifting around of bodies and shoving people into lot G, and obviously I'm saying this from a place of privilege, as you and I and other members of the media have been unbelievably spoiled with the B VIP parking.
It's nice.
Bri, who's probably watching, Dylan, who's watched, Brendan, who's gone with me, there's Dylan. All have experienced lot C. They've also experienced regular lot B, and most recently, before the switch or the groundbreaking, they experienced lot B VIP, which is obviously, you know, 100 yards from the stadium, maybe at worst.
Yeah.
So I must admit, and, you know, we say this as people, or I say this as someone who loves the team and wants to see it grow, and I get it, but there has to be a solution, right? It's criminal to me that parking prices have gone up, considering that you're being shoved into a dust bowl and gravel bowl.
Fair. Yeah, the parking. So it was funny because, you know how, actually, let's talk about these parking lots real quick. So let's double back. to the fact that the Sons of Ben tailgate is now in lot, I think, G, right?
It's just off of G.
Yeah, and off to the G or to the side was that kind of shed looking thing, right?
Yeah.
And I know they have the Union Yard now, which is a cool thing beforehand and after the games to hang out. They have the taco stand. Now, I was at Zed's on Saturday night for one of the games two weeks ago, whenever the last away match was. And we were talking about how the fact that the Union Yard is charging like $8 for like a hot dog or something ridiculous. Like they're just charging a lot of money compared to the Sons of Ben, where you pay, you know, that flat rate. Here's $20. If I'm a member, I can pay whatever it is, 15 or something like that. You get in and you can just eat and drink to your heart's content. Is it the best food in the world? No, it's just basic tailgating food, but it's convenient and it's cheap and it's easy to get to. But the first time I go into the lot G, right, or whatever the hell it is, off for the Sons of Ben, I stepped on like some big rock and almost like twisted my ankle. So it's just like a poorly paved and located region of to sit and park in. But
you have a press pass, which again, like we say this as sitting on, you know, our ivory thrones of, you know, we don't pay for it. You know, we're lucky in that sense, but I don't know. I think they were asking $28, $30 per car.
What? Oh, Kyle actually adds your comment. Bender had been injured, but he was off the injury pre-match. There you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
For your notes. I mean, I know. I think back to about, I want to go, this is 2023. So I'm going to date myself a little bit here. We're going to go back to about 2009. Okay. So I had got tickets to see 30 Seconds of Mars at the BB&T Pet Center. It's like the Tweeter Center, whatever it was in Camden, right? It was $40 for parking.
Yeah, no, I get
15
that.
15 years ago, right? For some concert. I wonder when the Union are going to finally hit that number of 40, because it's already, like you said, $25, $20 to park and counting. Are we ever going to get the $40 to park a damn car? If you're not driving a Subaru, that is.
I don't know, Mike. And I even learned that, too, about the Subaru parking lot, and maybe it was more common knowledge to people as someone who just got one. Up to 70 Subarus, anything after that you have to go and pay for your own parking, so that's capped as well. So you know, appreciate the sponsorship Subaru and the branding all over the stadium, but capping it at 70 is a little I don't know, a little whatever. So anyways,
just,
you know,
call it for what it is. It's a little cheap.
It's a little cheap. Yeah, but and
they're,
you know,
they're not our sponsors. So
yeah,
we can say
yeah. Well, if they want to, they can let me know. Yeah, but don't want to dwell on the parking too much. Just something I noticed, and I know a lot of people were sort of, you know, hung up on it too, and having experienced it, man, that I can't imagine paying that much for it. But it, again, as long as we continue to cover the team and provide you guys with news content, showing up to pressers and doing our jobs as jobs in air quotes, right? Of covering the Union, we're excited to show up and not have to pay, but it's getting a little difficult to stomach that cost. So beyond that, right at the parking lot, a lot of really happy people, a lot of people that, you know, my cousin and I were talking to people, you know, there for their first game or bringing their kids. So the typical, you know, crowd. It was also the Pride, you know, Pride Month game or Pride Night, whatever you want to call it. So a lot of colorful stuff out there, a lot of people walking around. The Sons of Ben tailgate was, I think, bigger than I've ever seen it, even at lot B. Which was cool to see. Cool. Union Yards, pretty thin, a little awkward with the competing DJs. And I'm just going, I'm rambling a little bit here.
No,
but
I want to hear this because I haven't been there yet for the
Union Yards. Yeah. So
please,
and this
let me hear it.
Yeah, no. So this is as Dylan and I were walking over to pick up my press pass. So I had my stinky cigar in one hand and just walking down to get my, you know, my press pass, which again, another goofy thing. When you walk into the plaza, can't bring an open container, but I can bring a cigar in.
What?
Right. Weird, right? So Dylan and I had to either chug or actually when I went to pick up my press pass, he was kind enough to hold my beer while I just walked around with my cigar and got my press pass, met an employee named Dina from the Union who was lovely, checking my name out into the list, whatever, gave me my pass. So that was goofy, but the atmosphere was good. A lot of smiles, music playing. But I found that so funny, just how packed the Sons of Ben lot was compared to, I don't know, Dylan can comment if he's still listening, 35, 40 people tops over at the Union Yards. And honestly, really just divided by a lane, right? Just like one vehicle lane going into the railroad yard. So I think there's a lot of room for collaboration. Is there a way to have a single DJ, have the speakers blasting on both ends of the parking lots, you know, sort of bringing it all together? Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get into that. There's a reason why I'm not part of the Sons of Ben. I don't need any of that drama. I respect what they do.
There's a lot of drama in the Sons of
Ben. I don't need that. So, you know, just something I'm noticing as someone who finally, maybe the Sons of Ben lot came to me. I know I've always sort of stuck around with the people that I take every single game.
There was a kickball game after the Sons of Ben lot. Mike Borton, who I know you got to meet, I think, right, officially or not.
Yeah.
Mikey Borton was like, yeah, we had a kickball game. I was like, hell yeah. What am I missing? I got to go to these games. There's a kickball. There's a taco stand is there now. I'm missing a lot. I've heard.
Oh, let me show you this. Yes. They were handing out these little towels that look like the jerseys. How cool is that?
Badass. Oh, wait, here you go. Valerie, our good friend Valerie commented, Union Yards had more people in it this week than in the week before, which is, I believe, the first week it had.
Sure.
Valerie also says it is possible to completely avoid the drama. I do. It is possible. But when you live on Twitter like we do, Valerie, it's very difficult. And then Dylan says maybe 40 people. Music between the two was odd to hear while walking by. So just to kind of, if people don't know what we're talking about, the Union had this new pregame and postgame tailgate.
Hub, I guess, right? Yeah.
It's a hub. It's like Xfinity Live minimized, I should say, into Subaru Park. Has like games, it has that taco stand, it has food being sold, that kind of stuff. The prices, from what I've heard, are more than people should be spending for that kind of stuff. And listen, I think the
25 bucks for tacos.
They can't be that good.
20, 25, I think I saw someone post.
That's absurd.
That's
the thing. People are already spending 25 to 30 bucks for parking. They're not going to spend an extra 25, 30 bucks for all that when you can just bring your own food, bring your own tailgate, and party there and have a good time there. Maybe that's just the nostalgic in me who used to bring a small grill to the games and just cook, right? Maybe that's just how I am. But I think people are automatically going to just gravitate to the Sons of Ben. And I know the Sons of Ben members who I've been in contact with, some of them were not very pleased about the whole Union Yard because it does feel very divided compared to just let's all be one big tailgate. Let's sponsor each other. Let's help each other out.
Neither here or there, but Mike, to your point, the move, and Dylan and Bri know this, and anybody who's gone with me, one Costco pizza, maybe two Costco pizzas and five hot dogs, 19, 20 bucks, you're set, you know, pre and post game. And actually, I forgot to mention on our way back or on our way to pick up my pass, Jay Sugarman leaving the stadium. Not sure if he was going to his car and then back, but kind of stood out as the only person wearing probably a, you know, $700 suit jacket, slacks, dress shoes, and a white shirt. So a little weird to see him sort of standing up. And of course, he's very slender, you know, pepper, salt and pepper like hair, kind of looking down. I don't know if he felt like he was a celebrity that no one would notice him. I don't know that many would notice him outside of idiots like us who know way too much about this team. But beyond that, I think it was an absolutely fine afternoon pregame. You could sort of start feeling, and this is maybe where we start moving more into the actual match, but you sort of felt like it was going to be a special night. And I know that sounds cliche or stupid, but just it really started to feel like, oh my god, okay, this is fun. The weather finally held up. There was no rain. It wasn't also freezing. It wasn't like overly windy.
It was a nice night.
It was a beautiful night for soccer. Tarp stayed off for 95% of the game, so there was no issue there with being too cold or anything. So okay. Nice night altogether. But I think we can move over to the soccer unless you have any questions of stuff I haven't answered.
No, let's get right to the soccer. So, again, Montreal has a big match on Wednesday for the Canadian Championship. So they were very much, rotated. I think they had, seven or eight changes overall. So they had a lot of rotation because of the importance of Wednesday's match. Because for them, a win in the Canadian Championship earns them a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League. So, of course, all tension was there. But
the money, Mike. It's the money. You got to get in that competition.
Listen,
at least,
man,
what, two home games or a home game?
We talk about the Facebook comments and stuff like that. The people discussing the Champions League right now. I'm trying to just stay away from it. It's comical, to say the least. So we had the game on Saturday. Now, right off the bat, we noticed three very important changes. We had Matt Real on the wing back. We had Kyle Lowry. Oh my God, Kai Wagner. Oh my God, and the left side of the three in the back, we had Bueno and we had Nathan Harriel. Oddly enough, I know Carranza scored two goals, but I have to say the men of the match were that central four line of Flock, Bueno, Harriel, and Matt Real. I thought all four played excellent. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Curtin said as much at the press conference. And again, thank you to Dylan for understanding. I let him know that, hey, you know, tickets free on me, but I need to stick around for the press conference. And he obliged, you know, no problem, sort of waiting for traffic to go out and whatnot. So thank you to him. But yeah, Jim, you know, I got to ask a question at the press conference and asked about Matt's performance and, you know, for him to expand on it, because earlier he had mentioned how he was happy with the way that the players that are typically role players stepped up tonight, which is absolutely true. You alluded to it just a couple of seconds ago. But Matt Real specifically, you know, and on a contract year, literally a single contract year, Jim was very quick to say that he would probably start for the majority of the teams in this league in some way, shape, or form at some positions. It just stinks that he is stuck behind Kai Wagner or our team, right? Stinks for him, great for us in terms of depth. So I think Matt had an incredible game and hustling, not holding on to the ball as much, which is what we noticed at the Charlotte game. And was it Charlotte? Maybe it was DC. I can't remember DC. Where.
You're thinking of DC, yeah.
Yeah, where he was being caught in possession one too many times, especially for a player at this level. But you're right. I think all of those players really stepped up. Nate had a great game as well. A wonderful shot that unfortunately right at the keeper could have been a fourth goal. But that place was ready to erupt, and it had erupted a couple of times already, that a fourth goal would have just done it even further. And obviously we can talk about Carranza's performance, but let's also not forget about that miss, that sitter that he put into the river.
Yeah. You know, so focusing on those four players, you know, first of all, you have the assist from Matt Real for Julian Carranza's perfectly placed first goal, first strike from just outside the 18 box. And I thought what I noticed the most from those four in particular was the fact that they were very aggressive in their press. I think all of them were extremely active. But Nathan Harriel, he looked like he had been benched for a while. Like, he was just playing on another level. Mm-hmm. And I thought, offensively speaking, I thought he was almost a little bit more involved than we've seen Olivier in extended time. I mean, am I crazy for thinking that? I thought he was extremely involved.
Yeah, he played like a possessed man, right? I think he knew that this was his opportunity. He had to take it. And we said the same about Matt Real in DC and, you know, how he sort of squandered it. And then we went even further to, if we, you know, pull the calendar back even further, we talk about Bueno when he had to play on that terrible pitch in the CONCACAF Champions League abroad. Yeah. And, you know, what a bummer for someone with his skill to have to play on those surfaces. But yeah, I think Nate sort of felt that fire in his belly, right? Where he sort of probably said to himself, I got to do this or I'm not going to play for a little while. Obviously, we have an upcoming break prior to the CONCACAF champ, the League's Cup. Different competition. So I think he sort of picked up on that. And you know, as they get ready to depart for San Jose in 2 days time, he must be feeling good about his chances to be featured more after that performance, and really all four of them. And to your point, Mike, about, you know, cohesiveness in the, after the presser, we, for those that don't know, we get to go into sort of the it's sort of like a room with some grassy area where the players can, you know,
it's like see, when you walk into the locker room, there's like a buffet line.
Yep.
And there's a patch of green grass where the kids, their kids play soccer. But that's typically where the out of the press conference interviews happen for the media. And then when you walk further back, you go into the actual locker room, which is usually cut off limits for everybody. So that's what, Jose, you're talking about, that grassy area.
Yeah, it's a neat little area. They can pass the ball around, whatever. I'm guessing that's probably the intention pregame for them to sort of like last few touches before they go on the field. But Mikael Uwe was also very, very quick to say during those interviews, and I asked the question about, you know, 2 weeks ago, I asked you, Mikael, about the cohesion of the team, right, with all of these faces coming and going from the roster, and he had alluded about how difficult it has been to sort of find that pattern, right? When you look at teams across Europe and really everywhere but the US, you don't see as much rotation as you see maybe in the MLS. And I could be wrong, but from what I recall of watching so much Premier League, you sort of have that 11 rather than preparing for opponents. You prepare for your best 11 and go at it. Yeah. So Mikael was this time around sort of like, yeah, I think we're finding our way here, right? Is it a change of formation, which Jim yes. claims that it isn't his favorite, though he goes on and gushes about it for 3-4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes during a post-game press conference that typically on an average night lasts what, Mike, like 10 tops?
At the most.
So Mikael was high on it. So high on the performance and high on the way that the game went. But, you know, and the final thought about those four, Mike, Jim at the press conference was also very appreciative of the work rate of Leon Flock and really his mental game, figuring out when to go yes. forward, when to stay back. And when someone goes forward, having the you know, wherewithal to stay behind and cover. So it seems like that part of his game is sort of clicking now, especially when you're in the open as the six or the eight. As the six, the pivot, sort of figuring that out and not no longer being, you know, on that wing position where you have the chalk covering your back, right? Mm-hmm. Right here, you're in no man's land and you're really the next line of defense, bar Elliott or Glesnes. So I think overall it was, despite it being probably Montreal B, a really, really good performance from the Union heavily rotated as well, as we learn about Lowe's knee.
Yeah, so apparently it fluid, right?
An unbelievable amount of fluid, according to Jim. More than, I think, if I recall, he had mentioned that it was, I've never seen that much fluid come out of someone's knee.
It's weird that he played then. You know, I mean, granted, it's good that Kai Wagner got the rest that he did. And, of course, Brandon Craig's not around. He actually just finished up his tour with the U.S. Youth National Team as they just got eliminated by Uruguay. I believe it was 2-0 was the final score. But I was surprised that he came in, especially because Jim doesn't typically sub out defensive backs as often as he does everyone else ahead of him.
It was the ultimate kill the game move, right? To put someone of that stature and speed, barring the knee.
He played fine. And I think that Jim doesn't want to fully commit to the new formation, but having that back three and having the quality of players you have in that line really does give the freedom to everybody in front of the push forward. And to touch on Leon Flock, so I think me in particular owed Leon an apology for one, but granted, he wasn't playing that great early on, but he has figured it out. And I thought one of the sequences, I believe against Charlotte, I don't think it was this past match, I think it was against Charlotte, it was a quick throw in from Kai, Gazla kind of chips it, and Leon just kind of maneuvers his way right through the box. And I think it was a Carranza hit the goal off the post when they hit the ball off the post. So he maneuvers, he finds just the right avenue inside the box and he cuts it back. And if you remember from the later portions of last year, I mentioned that Leon's game was developing offensively in the sense that he was finding those cutbacks and he's finding those quick 1-2 passes that were just helping connect the game together. So we don't need Leon to be feeding people out the back, you know, like Harris or McGlynn or even Martinez. And we don't need him finishing goals either, right? We're not trying to have him be Gazda. You need him to be a connector from point A, he's point B, he goes to point C. So he had that moment with Carranza. In Carranza's second goal, all three of those new guys got involved. We had Bueno, Flock, and Real. 1-2-3-4, boom, right to Gazdag. Gazdag does a showy work, and Carranza finishes off. But Leon has a different approach in the way he's touching the ball right now. It does seem more calm. It does seem more strategically placed, if you will, rather than just kind of kicking it up and seeing what happens. And I think mentally, as you said, mentally, he seems more into the game, rather than kind of lost in the sauce in the back. So I'm happy for Leon. I really am, because I think we all had very high aspirations for him. And to see him kind of go into this, same thing with Bueno. Bueno is very much becoming Jose Martinez-esque in the way he's able to control the ball, make these wonderful tackles. And I thought he also played well that night, especially with Ali Bedoya still on the mend. And now Jose Martinez with a yellow card this past weekend. Opportunities there for Bueno.
Yeah, Ali was at the media area after the game. Didn't get a chance to talk to him. He was walking around. I didn't notice a limp. I didn't notice anything weird. So there's that. But, you know, if you take a look back at the game as well a little bit, you know, same story. Outpossess 56 to 44%. Outpass 454 to 350. Their accuracy was obviously higher than ours as well, since they had the ball more by 8% or so. But again, we play our game, which also means more offsides than the other team, being caught offsides 4 times and they weren't caught offside at all. So we sort of, you know, continue to have this counterattack first mentality, I believe, and yeah, you know, sort of nesting ourselves and not really giving them the space to try to put something over top of us and have to play the high line in any way, shape, or form. So I think overall an exciting game. But Mike, I'm really excited to also talk about the off the field performance by the fans. Jim,
oh, so good.
During the press conference was, I think, you know, you and I see him all the time, so for those that don't, he usually does an opening statement. And the first few words out of his mouth was just thank you to the fans. That was an unbelievable performance by the fans. And as someone who was there in the stands, not in the press box, it was close to, I wouldn't say as good, but close to what we experienced against NYCFC in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that type of electricity, that it was good. And, you know, I biased to them, but the 140 guys before the game even kicked off, drum was going, chants were going. So it almost became an expectation from 139, 138, 101 and 102 to start picking up some of the chants and start listening, picking up the words, as you know, there's no game to pay attention to. So kudos to them. Corey Furlan, I believe, is one of the Corey is obviously very, very involved with that and does a wonderful job. So
Valerie says it was a dupe and awesome atmosphere. I love it.
Yeah, and you know, and Dylan, if he's watching, I'd love to hear his thoughts too. But it was very, very fun, especially with the occasion, right? Trying to, you know, Pride Night, etc. It was just electric, you know. Everybody got involved, especially with the shalala chant. I kid you not, Mike, I could hear all the way across, right over to the folks that have the Ring of Honor. You know, all of them got involved. The entire stadium was going at it, singing, chanting. I'm eager to see what it looks like come playoff time, right? Whether we are a number one seed or we're clawing for our life into the playoffs towards the tail end of the season, or, you know, we're one of those last two spots that have to sort of have this play-in tournament per se. Really excited to see what that stadium looks like, because again, I think capacity, there's Dylan, capacity of that stadium is 18,000 something. I think official numbers
19.5, I think.
19.5. Yeah. I think this past weekend the official numbers were a little bit beyond that because of standing room, which was awesome. So, long way to say, I can't wait, and I hope, and I know once we get into summer, hopefully that means more attendance, but that also means people come and go as they have vacations. I really hope that atmosphere continues and it's something that we build on, and especially for the fans like Val, who sits in 105, or Dylan, who comes and goes as his schedule can with, you know, the additional tickets that I have, that people get into it and enjoy it, because we see what Charlotte's going through right now. We've been there. We see what Montreal's going through right now. And I don't think we've been as low as they have. But we really should cherish this time as good as we have it. And we've had it for the last 4 or 5 years. Let's just not take it for granted.
No, you're right. And I, you know, Jose, you and I have been here for years. We've seen Subaru Park or PPL Park or Talon Energy Stadium, however far back you go, we've seen it be, you know, half capacity on a Saturday night. It's nowhere near as electric as you'd like it to be. But I know Corey posted, like, it's been 15, we waited 15 years for this moment where the entire stadium is joining. If you haven't checked out Todd Lewis's video from the Free Kick Pod account, he puts a video from the press box and it shows the Shalala chant going back and forth. And it's it's hard to imagine that it's come to that point. But then you also have great drummers. Like, I know we had Adam Joseph, which is obviously who's beloved in the area. Jason Kelsey was drumming on Wednesday, and he broke the damn drumstick and chugged the Coors Light on the field. So there's just a different energy right now to the Union. Of course, they've also have gone unbeaten in 9 games. But it's safe to say that the change in formation and the has revitalized these players, and they're playing with a new sense of life to them. It's not stagnant anymore. There's just more of an energy. Do you think the players are kind of feeding off that too from their play?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I got to speak with I was really involved with the press this weekend, which was fun. I spoke with Julian after the match, and you know, I got to ask him the question. I'm able to speak to him in Spanish, and I asked him, you know, what do you want to say to the fans after this match? Just so he could really get the answer he wanted to say.
Yeah.
And he was extremely appreciative of what the home fan base has been doing over these last few games. And he apologized in a way too for the DC match, but he was really quick to say that, you know, it's not the same when they're not there, and it's not the same when we're not performing. So sort of feeding into one another has been the MO these last couple of weeks. And it's apparent, which is also a bummer because now they disappear for a few weeks, which stinks considering how good things are right now. You'd hope after this past weekend that, yes, hopefully we're sending them off to San Jose feeling good, feeling confident, but you also wish that they were at home to sort of have another repeat performance from the crowd and how involved it was. And I know, again, bodies come and go, first timers, many timers.
Yeah.
Timers that have coming back for the, you know, first time in years being there. So yeah, I think the players are feeding off of it, and it's apparent. They're saying as much. So that's really cool to hear, and another testament to the work of, you know, the Corys of the world, the Sons of Bens of the world, Valerie and 105, folks around the stadium who pay attention to our little podcast here. It's really rewarding to finally, as Corey mentioned, you know, 15 years of trying hard to get people involved. And I got to give credit to Corey, no bullhorn necessary for him to get a crowd going. So really, really, really fun weekend. And I hope that when we get back there on the 24th, it's just as fun.
Yeah, it seems like forever from now. Well, speaking of, I guess, touching on the last parts of the game before we go to the San Jose match. So we know that Ua has been scoreless for a while. He finally gets his chance to score a goal and get back on the swing of things. But I think Ua has been doing well from the assist rate. I know he had the one throw and he had the assist, I think, about 2 weeks ago, 2 matches ago as well. So it's good to see Ua get back on the scoring board. Gazdag has, of course, been playing well. Julian has been playing well, scoring well. He was so close to the hat trick. To your point that you mentioned earlier, Jose, the sitter that he had, just 10 yards away from the keeper, was awful that he missed that.
I was going to ask him about that, but then I saw that his daughter was there and he was very, you know, giggly of finally having someone ask him a question in Spanish. In Spanish, he said that as much to me. You know, it's rare for him to get some Spanish speaking press to be in the room. That I didn't ask him that, but man, I wonder what's going through his head, because this is not the first one that he's missed. It's almost like the easy ones are very difficult for him, but then these very tight angles, or honestly, his first goal against Montreal is textbook about how to use bodies in front of you to sneak a ball past the keeper. The keeper was perfectly positioned. He was just that much quicker and better than really most of the players on that field at that moment. It was awesome. It's just, again, I hate to call it a sitter, but it really felt like a sitter.
No, that was. If you look back at the LAFC game from last year, too, he hits that left-footed shot from across the box. He has these moments, these goals that are spectacular, but he does miss these sitters a lot. Especially, remember, look back at Colorado. Remember, he had the chance, and always say, if he just got his foot around the ball, he would have had an easy goal. He does miss these easy opportunities, which it's hard to get mad at him for because of how well he's been scoring lately. He's scored 6 goals in 6 games. The Union at home especially have outscored their opponents 61-11 in the last 20 matches at home, including the playoffs, which is just extraordinary when you think about it. But in terms of the recent form, they've only allowed, 2 goals in the last 7 games? I mean, defensively, they're just clicking right now, you know?
Yeah, and this is a far cry, and I think I know I was, and I'm gonna pat myself in the back. You know, I think I was one of the few people, and I think you were sort of feeling this way. I think Dave was really bummed about it. He can maybe comment to it next week. But when the sky was falling, right, coming off of two competitions within a week, everybody thought it was time to blow it up. But in reality, we were in the semifinals of a continental competition, the U.S. Open Cup, sort of a long wanted trophy for us that we've been very, very close to achieving a few times now. But in reality, we just were not bad. It was just a tough week that made it feel like, you know, it's been an awful season altogether. So really excited to have that behind us. And you know, one last comment on Carranza, and really, I think you can also add Matt Real to this. Mm-hmm. Enjoying them while we have him, especially somebody like Julian Carranza, who I can't imagine that he sticks around with us for too long. I think the window opens July 1, I guess, the international window. Yeah, that would be it. Yeah, the European market technically opens July 1, and I think the MLS market lines up with it too, since we get two windows sort of in, you know, peak season. Right. And if I'm wrong, please, anybody watching, let me know. But I know Jim has been open about, you know, who knows how long we have with Julian, because he is putting up numbers, and honestly, games like Charlotte was he on Charlotte, but there's games where he may not show up in the scoring sheet, but the work rate that he puts behind his game and
for 90 minutes too,
grinding people down for 90 minutes is very apparent, and it's what, you know, teams from abroad also love. So long way to say, let's enjoy players like Carranza, who I still blows my mind, a fuse goes off in my head of just how poorly managed Inter Miami is and continues to be, to have let him go for what we got him when we're probably about to turn, certainly in the millions. So a good return on a player that was all but finished in a really bad situation in Miami.
You think about the financial turn-ins right now. So that's probably going to be a higher payday than Brendan Aaronson. People have at least argued that it might be close to more than Brendan was. But then you think about Brendan with the relegation clause, now that that's enacted, and see where he goes next. But then Jose Martinez comes back. I don't think we discussed it last week, did we, that Jose Martinez got re-signed?
Was there we mentioned it. Yeah, we talked about it, because I was amazed at the fact that or maybe we did. I don't know. I just remember making the comparison that Joaquin Torres was making more money than Jose Martinez at one point.
It's going to be to see, you know, they obviously put money to Jose Martinez. He's here now, I think, with an option until 2026, to see where that money is going to get allocated then for Carranza's replacement. Because the reality is, and let's talk about the depth now. The reason why this episode is titled Depth and Decisions is not only for the San Jose match, but the reality is we're still missing three very important players right now, and yet playing the best soccer we've played since last year, maybe earlier last year. The fact that Quinn Sullivan and Jack McGlynn and Brandon Craig are all coming back off the youth national team. Are they going to be available for this Saturday? Do you know? Or will they have to be next match?
I think they're back, because I was thinking about Caden for San Jose probably being back as well.
I wish they had won just for that reason alone. So you're going to see those three players come back. But we were told by Curtin that Bedoya could have been back this past week. He wasn't even on the start. He wasn't even on the bench.
No, so, he was dressed really nicely, all black.
Exactly. So we know that he hasn't been playing. You mentioned he's walking around fine, which, of course, walking's different than playing, of course. But the decision now in front of us is the depth problems we have, because if you do lose Carranza in a month or so, you need to have a replacement within the immediate future. As good as Uwa and Gazdag have been, part of that is because of Julian's performances right now. You cannot just slot Quinn Sullivan into that role and say, here we go, Quinn, let's replicate the third highest. Third right now for the Golden Boot in MLS?
I think so, yeah.
So to replicate that is going to be nearly impossible for Quinn to do. So the depth issues now, where do you think these four players coming back fit in?
I think they go to the bench. You know, I've been a long commenter on, you know, the Union finding a way to or a path to move.
Valerie pays attention to our shows. Thank you, Valerie. We mentioned Martinez last week.
I think it might have been a rumor at the time.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, back to, you know, where do they fit in? I think this team has been long in finding a path out of Bedoya. Yeah, I think it's been tough for them to find the stepping stones to move on. Obviously, his body is, he's playing well, but you can tell it's degrading, right? And it's part of it. He's had an awesome career and has represented the city so well. So I just want to get that out of the way before it sounds like I'm just trashing the man. He's done so much for us and really for this nation, international playing, but also as a, you know, his civic duties and encouraging people to get involved. Never mind the bid for the World Cup in Philadelphia, how involved he was with that too. So I can't, my heart and my brain, and I'm not Jim and I'm not nearly as qualified as him, would tell me don't touch it. You know, you gotta reintroduce them slowly, maybe as a 60th minute sub, all of them. Just, and really all these young guns that are just coming back played a lot of soccer internationally these past 2 weeks.
Brendan Craig and McGlynn have been starting regularly. I know Quinn Sullivan has not been starting. I don't know if he got some substitution minutes. I only caught the first, like, you know, 60 okay. minutes of the match against Uruguay. But you look at the schedule ahead, and this is the decision-making we have to do. We knew that we had two matches this past week. We had Charlotte and we had Montreal. It was clear that Jim favored the Charlotte match in terms of the starters because there was a huge rotation with three players. Huge rotation against
Montreal. Huge for Jim.
Huge for Jim. Against Montreal, which were clearly, you know, anticipating their Wednesday match. It kind of left to be, okay, we're going to lose this game, so be it. Now, if you look at the schedule ahead for the Union, you have San Jose at 10:30 on Saturday night.
That's late. Holy shit.
That's very late. You have the midweek game against Orlando, and then you host Miami on Saturday. So if Jim is approaching these games where the rotation's going to be at the weaker of the opponents, right, if you looked at it this past week.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you're noticing the 11 days in between, right?
Oh, that's right. Fucking Christ, I forgot about that. No, I'm not. Thank you.
Between San Jose and Orlando, there is an 11-day stretch for some international friendlies. I know that Subaru will be hosting a game. I actually want to talk to Nico to see if there's any way that I can cover it for AAT just to dip my toes in their international soccer. I know it's probably a completely different ball of wax altogether. But there's an 11-day stretch there where there's international play happening. So, you know, that sort of makes the decision maybe a little bit easier for Jim in a way when you know that there's 11 days of rest.
Thank you for reminding me because I completely forgot. So turning that around then, because there is so much rest, do we see who we saw on Wednesday or do we see who do we see on Saturday? And is this an opportunity if it's the 85th minute where we see Bedoya for a couple minutes and McGlynn for a couple minutes just to kind of get him back in the MLS play?
Right. I don't think we see what we saw on Saturday, right? To experience that Harrell, Bueno, Flock, and Real midfield again is, I think, it's going to take another Wednesday-Saturday stretch, which we have one coming up between Orlando and Miami and some travel in between to Florida and then from Florida back to us to play both Florida teams in a goofy way. I don't think you see that. I think what we see on Saturday is maybe a full strength Union, whatever that may mean to you. But I don't think that includes a Matt Real. I don't think that includes a Bueno, but it might, considering Martinez is now ruled out with that yellow card, correct? So I think you probably see more of what you saw against, what was it?
Charlotte.
No, I would probably say all but Martinez. I think you probably go back to what we saw in New York City, where you have Ua Carranza, Gastad, Kai, Flock, and Baizo, Glesnes, Elliott, Lowe, Blake, and substitute Martinez with Bueno, maybe. Yeah. Or if Perea ever gets out of the doghouse, him.
He actually played. Same with Torres. They actually both got minutes. Fairly decent amount of minutes. They almost got 20 minutes.
It also helps that you're up as high as we were. So there's that too.
Beggars can't be choosers, Jose. Beggars can't be choosers.
No, they cannot. So I actually think we'll probably see a full strength team, especially with 11 days between, but also the taxing flight from San Jose back, which before we forget, another big piece of Union history, or, you know, the growth of this team, Jamira Montero out in San Jose. So hopefully we get to see him. Hopefully the relationship's amicable. Obviously he wanted out of Philadelphia and we were able to give him that path out, but excited to see him, just as excited as I was to watch Derek Jones on TV against the Union.
He didn't play against us last year, did he?
No, I don't believe so. Whether it was injury or a suspension, I'm not quite sure, but I recall that he was out for that game and he was posting on social about it.
I think he was suspended from the week prior, if I remember correctly. Now, it's going to depend on Lowe's knee as well, because sure. if it does have that much fluid, we already saw how Uwa had the knee issue, and even Jim mentioned, you know, he's still kind of favoring that knee. We're glad to see that he's doing okay now, but if Lowe has that much fluid, I thought Real at least earned another chance on the wing back, and you put Kai back there again, and then bring in Lowe as that finisher towards the end, unless you give Elliot a rest for once. I know Glessens isn't going to go anywhere, so that's that. Bueno's going to start, though, over Jose for now, at least. And then maybe that's where Bedoya comes in later on in the game. If he is ready to play, maybe he comes in for Flock and sits next to Bueno, or Bueno switches to the left. And that's a rotation I'm thinking of. But I think Olivier should start because he's earned it so far this year. But my God, I kind of want to see Nathan again.
Yeah, as I would too, and you know, I got to do a better job too during the press time that we had in the back room with the players. I think maybe two people asked Nate questions, and then everybody, you know, went straight to Kai and straight to Uwa and Julian. But I'm sure Nate has a lot of good insight for us to share. So yeah, I would love for him to get an opportunity, though. You know, let me run this by you, knowing that there's 11 days between San Jose and Orlando. Would this make sense as additional rest for someone like Bedoya to just, let's just make sure you're absolutely 100%. Not that he's going to start against Orlando, but to make sure that if he starts being reintegrated into the team, it's at literally 100%, because I just don't know how much more time he would need for what Jim called a grade one.
Grade one train. And Valerie says just for this game. Yeah. I believe Jose is just out for this game.
Correct.
That's a fair point.
Also, don't even put him through the flight. Just have him stay in Philadelphia.
That's what they did against Minnesota. If you remember from the Minnesota game, they did not even send him there. They just kept him at home.
Yep.
And he watched it. I remember he posted from Instagram.
Just give him those funny looking leg casts that professional athletes wear. Just prop him up at home with his kids. Have him watch the game. Let him rest. Don't even put him through the time zone change on his body. Just because then. Because then we don't go out of the Eastern time zone. I guess Atlanta would be it. We don't go out
Atlanta's
of the East.
Atlanta's East Coast time.
Is it? Are they? Okay. I know it gets funky between Atlanta. Yeah, okay.
Now I'm not sure. Now you're making me second guess my geography.
Well, and here's what I'm saying. Because after the San Jose trip, we have three games that we are in the East Coast before we go to
LA
for another West Coast.
And then Nashville after that.
Right. Which I would say Nashville is probably not as taxing on the body, I should say, as, you know, obviously going to the West Coast. But, you know, you rest up someone like Bedoya and then you just have him play three games in the East Coast, not having to really put his body through the travel.
Okay. Other argument here, though, right? You're going to go to Orlando and put him through the heat down there, too?
Listen, you can pick and choose. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Would June 21? I can't remember. I know it's sort of temperature driven or humidity driven to the water break. So I'm not sure if they start that early in June. I know they're certainly in place typically by July.
It goes temperature based. So if it's like 85 degrees or more, humidity wise is above 80 some percent, it's a water break.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando's going to suck for those guys. Running around in that temperature, I just can't imagine it's fun.
That's what I'm saying. Bedoya has an importance. We know that. But if you're looking at these next two games where you have a very significant travel and a very late night game for them on Saturday, and you have a very hot atmosphere 11 days later in Orlando, I mean, do you put him maybe that's in the Orlando match when you substitute him in for 20 minutes just to get his body kind of back into game shape, because if he does not play until Orlando, Jose, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's missing like 5 or 6 weeks, right? When did he get hurt? He got hurt. I'm trying to look back now on the match. He got hurt against the Red Bulls, I believe.
Is that what it was? Yeah. So
around then, yeah.
It's been a minute. There's no denying, but maybe this is the rest stretch that gets him back to, you know, literally fully fit. But neither here or there. I think we'll always be surprised by whatever Jim does, especially once we start throwing bodies into the West Coast. I think he gets a little more kooky with his decisions and his lineups. But to your initial question, I think you see, again, something like we saw in NYCFC, which worked well, played very, very well. And you obviously just have to substitute a Jose Martinez, which is tough to replace.
Yeah, and then you think about the mid-game subs. If Jack McGlynn is back, you want to bring him on for Leon halfway through, or vice versa. Let McGlynn start and put Leon back there. Granted, of course, the problem is McGlynn's coming from a lot of travel too. He was down in Argentina and then coming back up here, then going all the way to San Jose. So he might just be a healthy scratch just for the sake of not overdoing him, although he is, you know, 19, 20 years old. So
he can put up with it. I wouldn't even be surprised. Yeah, I guess I would. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if he came to Pennsylvania. I don't know that the union puts him up and has him train on his own out in California. Yeah, in San Jose. But that would be an option, considering that the team's traveling away on Wednesday. So they're getting plenty of time over there to get acclimated, more than some teams too. I know LAFC, when they came to us for the CCL, they had just landed like the night before.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's why we have the press conferences on Thursday and Friday night. We're going to ask these questions of Jim, see where everything lies, see where the team stands. Because, again, it is a good problem to have. The depth is a good problem to have. We know Quinn Sullivan now is available soon, hopefully, to kind of get that third striker in there over Donovan. Although Donovan has had a few better moments lately, I do want to see Quinn more often. I thought he was getting better and better for us. And I had mentioned a couple of episodes, like, this is the Quinn Sullivan I was expecting, especially with the crosses that we were seeing out of him. And then he kind of goes away and disappears for us from what feels like 2 months now at this point. So I'm excited to bring Quinn back, and hopefully he can start to maybe get the confidence from the U.S. camp and start to produce a couple goals, because we have not seen him score yet. We haven't seen him score since the Orlando match last year, I think it was. If not, maybe the – when did he score last?
You're asking the wrong person. You shouldn't be asking the wrong person, but I feel like I might be the wrong person. No, the Orlando match was Andres Perea.
No. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about last year.
Oh, my God, Mike.
We're going to fact check us real quick here.
Would that be July 23rd, 22? That was Gazdag.
Let's see. He had 2022. He had one goal.
Wasn't that the bicycle kick against Chicago?
Yeah. That was it?
No.
Yeah, because that wasn't 2021. Oh, wait. It was 2021.
Either way, it's been a while.
If anybody's listening, when did Quinn Sullivan score his last goal? That's bad, Mike. It's bad because Tanner put him as our third striker. That's why it's that bad.
I mean, you're not wrong. All I'm saying is it's bad when you don't remember when the striker scored last, whether it's form or the odds being stacked against him with the competition that he's going up against.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, anyway, we've gone on longer than I know we wanted to. We said on the chat 30 to 45 minutes. It's been an hour now. So predictions for Saturday. I know we'll talk to Dave over the week, but predictions for Saturday's game against San Jose.
Oh, my gosh. Tough travel, obviously. Sorry, I was away from the mic. Tough travel out to California. I can see this being a healthy draw and us being okay with it. Win at home, draw away, sneak away with a few wins while away from home, and you get a championship. But obviously it's a little different in the U.S. with having playoffs in the mix. So I would be thrilled with a tie considering the travel. And San Jose is a decent team this year, fifth in the West, scoring goals, playing good soccer, much better than the last couple of years, in my opinion. So I think it's going to be tough. And it also depends on what they decide to do with their striker situation with, is it Caden Cal? Is that how you say his name?
Caden Cal, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or Cal, whatever. I just know him as Cal. But if he plays, then he's certainly a threat. But we've also seen our back line handle the best of the best with Christian Benteke as well as with their Swiderski this past Wednesday. So I don't want to say not too worried. In hopes to not jinx it, but we know that we're capable of handling players like this. So 1-1 tie, I believe, is what we'll see. And I think Julian Carranza will continue his hot streak. And this will be the game where he taps in a goal from a pass back by a Leon Flack.
Leon Flack, I knew you were going to say that. So if I look back at the recent form for San Jose, they beat LAFC on May 6th. They lost LA Galaxy.
That's not tough.
Yeah, right. They lost LA Galaxy 2-1. They then were beat by LAFC again on the 20th of May. They drew against Dallas. They beat Seattle by 1. And then they just drew against Colorado at Colorado on the 3rd, 0-0. If you look at the head-to-head, matchups, the Union have outscored San Jose 27-19. While San Jose has given up 19 goals this year, while we have given up 15. But as again, as I said earlier, we've only given up about 2 goals in the last 7 matches. So really, in terms of form, defensively speaking, I feel very confident about that. And I anytime you go to West Coast, it's going to be hard. I don't disagree with a draw, although I think considering our form, that'd be a disappointment. But I'm going to go with a... God, I don't want to match you, but I feel like a 1-1 draw is fine. I don't think we give up 2 goals. I do think we score more than 2 goals, or 1 goal rather. I do think we could pull off a 2-1 win. But considering the travel, I'm going to go pessimistic with you. I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to say Ua scores again back-to-back games, and we're going to get an assist from, let's go Bueno.
There you go.
It's a weird assist combo there, but I'm just going to think outside the box here. We're going to go Bueno, and we're going to go well with a goal.
There you go. And to your comment on the defensive prowess, last game that we gave up more than 1 goal, Minnesota, U.S. Open Cup fallout, when we had that madness of a game with Kai Wagner strikes left and right. So it's been a minute.
When's the last MLS game, though?
God, that's a good question.
Toronto,
April 22nd against Toronto. We gave up 2 goals.
2 goals. And remember, we were up 4-0 in that game. We gave up that 1 goal to Insigne, and then they scored that late, cheap goal at the end. So, in theory, yes, you're right. Although we kind of gave it up at that point. But we haven't given up more than 1 goal since April 22nd. That's a long time.
In MLS play.
So I feel confident that they can keep it to under a goal. Jose, to hell with the pessimism. 2-1 Union. We're gonna get a Ua goal. We're gonna get a Bueno assist, and we're gonna get a Gazdag PK, because why not, right? That's just why not. Let's do the final thoughts now, and I'll end with the commercial. So final thoughts today, Jose, on this Monday night.
Again, hats off. I didn't wear a hat to the game, having for a little bit now that it's getting warmer, but hats off to the fans, over the last couple of weeks, specifically this past week, which I hope that when we finally get back to the park on the 24th, it is just as electric and we haven't skipped a beat. So, hopefully a nice run of games here in the next, 20, whatever, some days, the 10th and then the 21st. And then, 3 days later they come to us. Hopefully, an electric experience again. And it's been great. And, yes, we had Envision only going 30, 40 minutes, but Mike, always so much fun to chat with you and discuss this theme. So looking forward to, we'll have to flip coins, or maybe shortest stick has to cover the press conference after San Jose.
I'll cover it. I'll be up. Don't worry. If you know me, people who know me well enough know I go to bed at 2 a.m. I wake up at 6 a.m. on a regular basis. So that is Across the Pitch. My final thought will be the Union are climbing the table. They are currently, 9 points behind Cincinnati for that top supporter shield spot, and they're only 1 point behind Nashville for that second place. Nashville's having themselves a good year. Fafa Pico, our beloved Fafa, is doing well out there in Nashville, so happy to see him doing well. But that's my final thought. They're climbing the table. Keep supporting the team. Keep, even from away, from whatever bar you go to, keep cheering them on Saturday night and the final game against Orlando after that long break, which I know, honestly, Jose, is going to be kind of nice for us to have a break for a little bit.
It's nice. You know, I was actually thinking about it too, of like, oh, as much as I want to go, it's also going to be nice to not have to do the 45-50 minute drive each way for a little bit. But I would do it 20 times over considering what we just experienced this past weekend. So double-edged sword.
Exactly. All right. I love it. Let's read the sponsors. We'll end with the commercial and we'll call it a day. Oh, wait. We have one more comment real quick. Here we go. Let me see here if my computer can work properly. Oh, here we go. Valerie, she came in through at the last minute.
Oh, my
Quinn
God.
Quinn last scored in August 2021 against Montreal. That doesn't seem possible, but Valerie, I'll trust your word for it. That's crazy.
Holy okay. smokes.
The sponsors. We have Statement Games at statementgames.com for a fun new way to fantasy sports entertainment. You win gift cards and prizes. Free to sign up at statementgames.com. We have Doan Distillery at the Trolley Barn Public Market in Quakertown. Go to doandistillery.com to check out their wide variety of drinks and spirits. We have Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant right off the Iroquois Trail in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Discover a new favorite by trying their top pizzas and so much more. Check out their new website at vinny'spizzarestaurant.com. Right next door, like I mentioned before, Stuff to the Grills, 6750 Iroquois Trail number 5 in Allentown, and stufftothegrills.com. They have homemade hot and cold sandwiches, salads, appetizers, baked goods available for any event. Graduation season, got an event, stufftothegrills.com. Across the pitch gear and all AAT Sports Network gear at aatsportsnetwork.com/shop. And then our own personal sponsor here, we have margoreedstudio.com or margoreedstudio on IG. Hopefully, now that she's getting married, has a couple road trips, she can come back to us soon, maybe for that June match, and get some more picks for us. We'll see. We'll have to talk to her. And then lastly, enjoy. I'm going to end
so
the show.
It's so dumb.
It's really stupid. They're my sponsor. But enjoy this 1 minute and 40 second commercial from Jose's narration of Manscaped, and then we'll end the show with that. Have a good night, everybody.
Support for AAT Sports Network is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. With this offer, you'll join over 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Enjoy 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code AATSPORTS. That is AATSPORTS at manscaped.com. As a married man, I have been there. Personal grooming can be difficult and pretty painful. Luckily, the performance package 4.0 has arrived, and oh man, it is a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the crop preserver ball deodorant, the crop reviver toner, a pair of performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all of your new tools. First off, the lawnmower 4.0. This thing is the future of grooming. Because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess. You thought that was good, but want to take your grooming game even further to the next level? The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose holes. Their Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, fellas. Your balls will be thankful. To top it all off, Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. So remember, get 20% off and free shipping with the code AATSPORTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use code AATSPORTS to support us. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. I think we just gotta end on that. Sorry,
it's even,
everybody.
It's even better than again when you see it live. Oh, Valerie's comment. Oh my God. Good night, everybody. Happy Monday night. Go Union.
Nice.